One thing that I've learned since I became a mom is that babies are very capable. I always knew it, but I didn't know how much until I saw my own kids do things that I did not expect. I remember one of the most striking moments that showed me this was one afternoon back when my daughter was, say, 14 or 15 months. I was in the kitchen trying to clear up some dishes that were piled up in the sink, and my daughter really wanted to play with me. To kind of distract her, I decided to sing a song that she liked. Head, shoulders. I stopped washing the dishes and touched my head, shoulders, knees, and toes. Instead of copying me as I expected, she just looked at me for a while and then left. I thought I was very boring and she decided to move on to do something else. That was okay for me because at that point, I really needed the time anyway. However, a few seconds later, she waddled back into the kitchen carrying a large pink book. It took me a while to notice, but I saw that she had brought me the book that had the song Head, Shoulders, Knees, and Toes. I was shocked, but definitely very impressed. She couldn't speak yet, but she communicated with me. It's like she told me that she knew exactly what I was talking about. I remember going to the bookshelf with her afterwards to just see how much she knew. And she picked up most of the books that I displayed either by me saying the title or by repeating a phrase that I know she loved from the book. The story we will hear today will show us just how capable our babies are, especially when you find yourself helpless and vulnerable. This is the second episode of Mama Till Season 3. I'm your host, Sally Courier. Our story today comes from Valentine. Val always thought that she would take her time to enjoy marriage before their kids came. But as we all know, sometimes things don't go as we planned. A lot of things happened once she discovered she was going to be a mom. She worked as a pattern drafter for a bridal shop that made bespoke wedding dresses. And when she shared the news with her boss, she lost her job. That got her off guard, but looking back, the owner was probably going through some issues with her business, hence the very rash decision. She did try to offer Val her job back, but by this point, Val and her husband had made a major decision. She was going to stop working and be a stay-at-home mom to take care of their kids. Another thing that happened was that she struggled to bond with her pregnancy, something that a lot of women face. We pick up her story at the point where I asked her what she thought motherhood looked like before she became one.
To be honest, I didn't think it would look like what it is looking at now. I used to babysit a lot. I used to babysit, like, babysitting was one of my, I think, hobbies. But even in church, I'd be like, let me babysit for you, for those people who are in ministries. I was also in ministry, but for those people who are in ministry who didn't have, like, of course, on Sundays, it's not easy for you to have your help with you. So I would just volunteer to babysit, or if someone calls me home to go babysit for them, I'll be there. So for me, it was just like, okay, let me babysit now and then give you back your child, because I didn't know what children wake up at night. What do you mean they wake up at night to do what? Why are they waking up at night? And then things like at regressions, I'm like, what are those? For me, motherhood was before marriage was just like this. It's not that hard. It can't be that hard. Mtoto mdogo hawezi kukushinda. Like, why would you allow your child to rule you? Yeah. Until I saw the other side. I was like, what in the ghetto is this? Like, do people go through this? When I got my first daughter, I asked my husband, and people get five children. People get after going through this, and then the next year I'll see you pregnant, and then what? So for me, before marriage, things was just like, before babies, I was just like, it's not that hard, until I got to the other side and I was like, people don't talk about it.
How did you feel once you figured out that this is your new reality, that you're going to be a mom soon?
Once I figured out, the joy didn't just come like that. It was a day at a time. Like, I had to put to convince myself. So it kind of took a while, I won't lie. it kind of took a while. And then I decided, you know what? Like, not even decided, like, every day I would convince myself, like, you know, Bali, you're pregnant. Bali, you're pregnant. So I used to be a dancer. I used to dance in church. So I think I did that until when I was 10 weeks. My body was just, like, refusing because it was intense. The practice and then now the actual thing on Sunday. So my body just refused. And then my plan was to just not tell people until, I don't know why, not yet, because dream miscarriage can happen. Or no, my plan was just to keep it between us first before telling family and friends. So, but the reason behind that was for me also to accept it first so that I can put it out there. So every day I would just give myself this talk, like, you're pregnant, your child is a beautiful thing. You're so glad you're pregnant. Like, you should be glad you're pregnant. Other people are looking for this child. And then I believe in God, and I'm a Christian. So, and then God gave me the verse, for this child you prayed for. I think it's 1 Samuel. I'm not sure. But for this child you prayed for. So, that was the verse of the season, like, for the whole season, then 9 months. Like, that's what I kept on telling myself. And then until I got to a point, I was like, ooh. So the first reality, the first time when I felt like, oh, I'm going to be a mother. And like, I started owning it when I went for my first clinic appointment. And then I had the heartbeat. And then I started crying again. Ah, it's real. It's a baby. So I think that's when it's just sealed everything. That, imagine, Bali, you're pregnant and it's a real baby. It's not a puppy or it's not a cat. It's a real baby. So from then, that's when I started embracing it. And then I was like, I want to know the gender. Now, like, I was, my best days were when I was going for my appointment. Yeah, those were my best days. So yeah, that's when I came to accept and to mean that I'm pregnant, and to, yeah, and to, I was happy actually when I had the heartbeat. Like, the heartbeat was everything.
What was your biggest shocker once you became a mom?
My biggest shocker was the fourth trimester, and then how different me and my husband were. I thought we were in the same page. Like, dude, we planned this thing pamoja. We said this is how we're gonna raise our children, and then yeah, kidogo, you are signing off. Like, what is this? So fourth trimester was hard because one, I did an emergency CS with my first child, so healing was something else, and then the fact that child could cry for almost 3 hours nonstop was something else. And then I got this girl during COVID, so no one was coming to visit you. And COVID hits, I think, in March 2020 in Kenya. Yeah, so I gave birth to this girl in February. So now things like going to clinic, appointments, things like, now my husband's job had to kidogo tengeneza things so that it can, because you see, that's the time when people are working from home, but then they weren't working from, they had to go to work. So it was, to be honest, it was hard. That was like one of, not sleeping, like having a wound, baby is crying. And then the other thing that really hit me was milk. I didn't know, like, it takes time for milk to come. Like, Mbaka, I opted for formula. So that's when we know, I knew me and my husband are different. My husband's like, we're not giving this baby formula. You're breastfeeding. I'm like, but why am I getting the milk? So my mom is even, my mom came and she's like, ah, you guys just give this child formula, because at the end of the day, this milk is not coming. So that's when I was like, so there was kidogo argument between me and my husband, but the milk part was also difficult. And now the fourth trimester, not sleeping, the baby's crying, you don't know why they're crying. She's crying, you're like, why are you crying? You're just fine. I've changed your diaper, I've given you milk. you've slept. I don't know why you're crying. I didn't know things like colic. So yeah, for trimester was just hard for me, for real. Yeah, I remember there's one time I went to the toilet and I cried. So I just went, it's like I'm going to the bedroom, and then I just shut the door and then I sat there and I cried. So I think my husband was like, yeah, this person has been in this toilet for a while. So he comes, hey, I'm like, what's wrong? Why are you crying? And I'm like, hey, where? Because now you feel like, why can't I produce milk? Why can't I produce? See, I think it's natural. So, yeah. So, I think I even got to, not a PPD, but I had baby blues or something.
One of the things that you talked about when you sent in your form is body issues, right? Like how you probably interacted with what you looked like or felt like after you became a mom. So maybe what I would want to ask is, before you became a mom, right? Like, what was the relationship that you had with your body?
I like, before I became my mom, I was just I wouldn't say like I was a slim girl. No, that's a lie. I just felt like I was fat, and which I was okay with that. Like, from when I was younger, like I was just this plump girl, like. It was fine. I didn't see any problem with it until people started body shaming. Like, but I've never gotten let me tell you, not even that. Come to think of it, body shaming started in my family, like the people I know. Yeah. But like I said, it was just it's fine. Be like, no, menona, kosa, well, yeah, something like that. So it wasn't even bothering me. And then I started, now I got the baby, and now you have to eat for two, which I realized it's a lie. After my second baby, I was like, it's a lie, you don't have to eat for two. Maybe you drink for two. Yeah, don't eat for two. So me, I'm just here, you know, they're pumping with uji. Yeah, take porridge, you need milk. Take njahe, you take what? Okay, fine. So I'm just eating, and then you're just eating because now your excuse is I'm a breastfeeding mom, I'm a lactating mom, so lazima I have to eat, you know. So after 2 months, my body is just something else, and then I realize I have a bulge in my tummy, like around my cord, my navel. There's a bulge, but it wasn't painful. So I call a friend of mine who's a nurse. I'm like, hey, I don't even think it's after 2 months. It's like a month or so. I call my friend. I'm like, hey, you're my first baby. I'm like, I've discovered something and I don't know what it is. Like, I've never had it before. So my friend is like, if it's something threatening, you wouldn't be alive. So is it painful? I'm like, no. So I realize if I like stand for long, or if I walk for long, or if I just do, because I didn't have a help like at that time, it was just me and my husband. And so if maybe I stand for long doing dishes, it will bulge, and then I would feel pressure. It wasn't painful, like pressure. So I would sit down and be like, okay, I don't know what it is. So I just, of course, I fear hospital. So I don't even want to go and be told, oh, you have severe what? Oh, you have severe life threatening. I'm like, let me just observe it. And I observed it for a while. I really observed it for a while. Yeah, so, well, so it's just like, I'll just manage it. Because now it's so painful. It's just pressure. So I realize if I do this and if I do that, if I do this, if I do that, then I don't feel it. So I knew what to do and not what not to do. So I lived with that thing for 2 years. No, 3 years. Almost 3 years. So later on, like, when I was pregnant with the second child or before, that's when I knew it was hernia. So I went to Pinterest. I typed ways to live with hernia, something like, yeah. So there's this whole paragraph of how what you're supposed to do and what you, and if you feel the pain, you're supposed to do as well. So I was like, ah, fine. So when I got pregnant, and then now, my bump was growing, the more it was growing. So I'm like, so when I went for the clinic appointment, I asked the person, and he's like, you know, you can correct it, but there's no need of correcting it because what happens? Because it can correct itself. So I'm like, please explain to me what a hernia is. So he explains to me, it's like it's a muscle that has ruptured, and then so your matumbos, they want to go through that carot, but now that's where you're feeling it's such an interest. But he didn't give me a full story. So I'm like, okay, fine. So I go, I Google, I research on it, I'm like, okay, fine. Second trimester, this thing started. Now, this is my second pregnancy. So I've lived with it. I feel pressure. I lie down the way I'm supposed to lie down. And then when I wake up, it's gone. So second trimester, this thing started being painful. It's like someone is stabbing you from the inside, like this. Like a sharp pain. Now, not from one side. Like this is where it is. It's coming from this side. And then they're all coming together. So this thing is painful. I can't even sit. I'm just screaming. Even screaming is not like, I'm just like, it's painful more than even labor pains. That's not how I can say it. Because I've gone through my labor pains. Now I know. So it was painful. The only thing I could do is just, got to a point I used to stare. I don't have energy to even scream, because maybe the more I scream, the more the pain. So I'm just like, let me just keep quiet. Like that, it was that painful. So I went to my gynecologist OB, and it's like, it can be corrected, but it won't be corrected when what happens when you give birth, because they are two different places. Yes, it's not a compounded surgery. And his reason was, I don't want to leave you with two scars, like two wounds. Like there's a wound over there, you need to, let's finish first this other one, and then we can work on this other one. So, and he's like, you know, I'm not, even if I was to operate on you, I wouldn't be the ideal surgeon, because there are other surgeons who do that. That's not, because me, I'm just I'm just this other surgeon. So it made sense at that point. I was like, okay, fine, let's just wait. So every time it's painful, but I thought I knew pain until I gave birth. So I thought that was painful. Hey, shock on me. So when I gave birth to my second child, first month, it was fine. Second month, this thing started. It was painful. Like painful for, you can't even breathe. You can't even the staring now. So you can't, there's nothing you can do for the pain to come down. Like, and it will go like that for almost 40 minutes. I have a toddler and a newborn and a scar that hasn't healed.
Describe one of those days that were just too bad.
So the one that was like, you know what, I am going for this thing, I'm going to be, yeah. So this time I'm just alone with her. I used to have a day bug who comes thrice a week, so she'll come clean, and also if I need to leave the kids with her, I would tell her in advance. So come on, maybe on Friday, you just stay with the kids. You don't have to do anything. So this time I was alone. I remember it was on a Wednesday. So this Wednesday, what happens? I am just okay. I'm from a call, a long call. Then after I'm done calling, I'm done with the phone with my friend, this pain comes. Like, it comes pole. It's not in a hurry. It just comes. Like, I can feel. I'm like, hiya, there it goes. It's coming. So I'm like, okay, fine. What do? I lie down. So I think I've gone through that until my daughter has, the first time it happened, my husband brought my breast milk, the frozen milk, and then he told me, just put it on there. put it on the where you're feeling pain. Yeah. And it's lifted. It's lifted. So I think my daughter has been seeing that. So my husband brought the water and the milk, and then he's like, drink this water and put it there. And then that day it's lifted. So, I'm fine. So this time I'm all alone with two children, and now the pain comes. So I lie down. Then my little girl was just lying on the couch. So I lie down, and then I tell her, Yanzi, my pain is coming. She's like, oh no, okay. He's like, okay. So now it comes. So I call my husband. I tell my husband, hey, the pain is coming. So my husband said, call the help. The help wasn't living far. So I call the help. My husband called the help. I'm like, hey, are you around? She's like, no, I'm not around. So the pain has been there. I've felt the pain when the help is around. So she sees what I go through. So she's like, okay, I'm not around, but I'm not far. So my husband's like, hey, Val is not feeling too well. Can you, is it something that you can just leave and then go see as I plan to leave the office and come attend to her? She's like, oh, fine, let me come. And to be honest, she came. But before she came, because she says she was a bit far. So before she came, the pain has gone. The pain has. So what happens? My daughter disappears, kidogo time. Like, she disappears, she goes to the kitchen. I don't know if it was in the bedroom. Now I'm in pain. I'm not even wondering what she's doing. You know that when toddlers are quiet, you know, there's something they are doing that is not right. So I'm like, you know, whatever she's doing, let her do it. I mean, so I'm here. So what is she doing? She has gone to the freezer. Mind you, I have a deep freezer. She has taken her chair, climbed the chair. She has gone to the deep freezer. She has opened the deep freezer. I normally have stuff on top of the deep freezer. Yeah, I don't know. Like, she removed the things. And then she opened the deep freezer. She brought the milk. And then she's like, Mama, here we go. Put it on the boo-boo. Put it on the boo-boo. I'm like, okay, thank you. So I put it on the, I'll put it on the boo-boo. And then she goes and brings me water. I think the same thing she did with the chair, climbed the chair, got me water. And then she came. And then now she's holding, her hands are all over her waist. Now she's in charge. Mama, if you do that, you'll feel better. Are you feeling better? Are you feeling better? Now she realized her sister is crying. What does she do? So I was almost there. The way I had placed myself, near the couch, because my daughter was on the couch. So she pulled the sister by the legs. And then my legs were, I was lying on my back, facing up, and then my legs were lifted kidogo. So she pulls the sister, and then what does she do? She brings the sister to my lap. And then she brings the baby gym. She puts it next to me. And then let me tell you, at that point, I'm only concentrating on myself, but I'm also looking at her. And then after she has pulled the sister to my lap, now she pulls her to the baby gym and then puts her strategically how I can be able to feed her. Then she notices I'm not able to feed her. What does she do? She go gets her pacifier. She gets her pacifier and put it on her mouth, and she's like, don't worry, Harvey. Mama is in pain, but she'll be better. Just take the pacifier for now. Let me tell you. I cried. No, not because of pain. I'm like, what? I'm like, is this pain making you grow too fast? Like, how? Because she wasn't even three. So the baby stops crying, and then all of a sudden now when the baby stops crying, she has the pacifier in her mouth. My help comes in. When my help comes in, now the pain is not, it's quite manageable. So I'm able to now turn. The whole time I managed to turn, and then now I can feed the baby. Yeah, so I explained to my help what happened. She's like, what? What? By the time my husband comes, the pain has gone. The pain used to take like 30 to 40 minutes. The pain has gone, but I'm like, I don't want to feel that pain again. Because now I'm scared because I was with the children. What if I was cooking and then that pain comes? What would I have done? Or maybe I was, you know, maybe bathing the children, or even maybe I'm in the bathroom. And like, I was like, let's go to the doctor. So we go to the doctor, and the doctor says, it doesn't look like an emergency per se, because what happens is that it kind of ties when it's emergency. So you're not able to, poop, or the food, or you're not able to keep the food inside, like you vomit. So I was like, you know what, me, I don't want to know if it's emergency or not. Emergency, book me for an appointment. I want this thing to be corrected.
And that's what they did. She did struggle to find a hospital that will not charge an arm and a leg because her insurance wasn't too keen on paying for the surgery. She ended up at KU Referral and got their mom to come over to take care of her toddler and the newborn. What she thought would be a quick in and out procedure ended up taking much, much longer because of an influx of patients and a miscommunication between them and the doctors. After seeing how much pain she had, they took her in and found out that the hernia was a lot more complicated than what the scans had shown. Anyway, they fixed her up and she was able to go home. She's doing well now and healing from that surgery and her recent birth as well. She has definitely learned how to accept help and take things slow. I finished off her interview by asking her what she learned about herself since she became a mom and if she was interested in going back to work.
Like, since I became a mom, what I've learned is I'm a very resilient woman. Like, and then another thing is, I think I was made for it. Like, I was created to be a mom. Like, I enjoy it. Once I got the meaning of it, I grasped it. Now I enjoy being a mom. Like, there's nothing my toddler can show me and I'm like, you will not try me today, yeah? Your tantrums. And then the other thing is just how I manage her tantrums. Like, when I found out that tantrums are normal and they're like a milestone, I'm like, that's resilience. And just know I was made for this. It's hard. I'm not saying motherhood is not hard. It's hard. Sometimes you just want to take a nap and sleep. Sometimes someone calls you like, oh, so I'm going here. You want to come, but you can't come because you have two people there who are looking at you like this. And me, you're going with me. And me, you. The other one is just looking at you and smiling. Yeah, I'm open to that, to the idea of that situation changing, because as much as I'm a stay-at-home mom, I have a side hustle aside. Like, what? But for now, I'm planning to be a stay-at-home mom until all my children have gone to school, because we've decided we just want two children. Yeah. So when all of them have gone to school, then there's nothing for me to do for those kidogo hours from 8 to like 12:30 or from 8 to like 3. There's a lot you can do with that, with those hours. So for now, I'll be a stay-at-home mom. But other than that, after when the children have gone to school, then I think I can still continue doing my job. Like, I loved pattern drafting. And even, I really love doing that. So I wish Kenyans had the way, like, you can do pattern drafting and at home. And just someone sends you the measurements and all that. You just do pattern drafting. You cut the dresses and then you send them away. Like, you don't have to go to the office, or you don't have to. Yeah. At the end of the day, the reason why I'm a stay-at-home mom
I want my children to look back and say, my mom was always there for me. Yeah, my mom was always there for me. That's one of the things I would really love. Even though they don't say it, they won't say it. Maybe they won't say it on my face. Maybe they tell. Like, I want to create a space for my children where they can. You see, the way sometimes in college you feel like, I just want to go. Like, I just want to go somewhere and I'm so tired. I want my children to feel like they can. They'd be like, I just want to go home and be left. Like, I want to create a space, like a home where they just come home. They feel like home is a safe space. Yeah. Like, that's what I want to make my children feel. Like, they can always come home. There will always be food for them. And then, like, there's always be warm hugs and time for them. Like, I want to create time for my children. That's one thing I want to do.
Valentine Kiambi lives in Nairobi, Kenya, together with her husband, and she is a stay-at-home mom of two girls, a 3-year-old toddler and a 5-month-old baby girl. She is also a very talented pattern drafter and was one of the amazing people who worked on my gorgeous wedding dress many, many moons ago. Thank you for listening to this episode. Come back in the next 2 weeks where I will be kicking off a very exciting series. This series will follow a young couple on their parenthood journey. We will start off the first episode by learning a little bit more about them and how they're preparing themselves for the birth of their first child. If you would like to share your story on the podcast, just let me know by filling out the form on our website on mamatillspodcast.com or on the link in the show notes of this episode. If you're listening to this podcast on Spotify, why not take some time to answer the little Q&A that is there or a poll? I'm not sure which one I'll use yet, but I think it's a really great feature to have and it will allow me to get direct feedback from you. Make sure to follow me wherever you listen to this podcast as well as on Instagram. This will help you keep up with the community and also be in the know just in case I have some exciting announcements. All right, see you in 2 weeks.